Dan Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:27. By the way, Caroline Levick cleared some up yesterday, saying that the president is agreeing to the meeting at the request of President Putin. So since Putin gave the invitation and Zelensky wasn't invited, part of that invitation, that's why Trump is... It's just the two of them.
Ah, okay.
So now, you know, but in the end, of course, they're all going to get together. Ben Reynolds joins us a couple of minutes early, so we just wanted to stick a microphone in your face and let's do this thing. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you all for having me. Great
yes, sir.
To be in the studio again.
So we're within 2 weeks now of the municipals, and we were just spent the last segment talking about the mayoral race in Orange Beach, which some mud flying there. But we were, as you came in, kind of saying, you know, on this side of the bay, we have a lot of races, but everybody's been pretty respectful to this point, it seems, in pretty much all the races. I mean, there's a little jibs and jabs here and there that people get kind of frustrated with, but nothing over the top, it doesn't seem.
That's the way it seems to me, you know, and maybe that's attributable to where we're at as a city, that we're sort of moving forward in a very good direction, and I think people are generally happy with the direction we're going. There's obviously uncertainty with a change in administration that's always going to create some turmoil, but I think you're right.
Yeah, and speaking of the work that's been done in this city, a lot of it happening in your district, and a lot of roads paved in District 4, huh?
A tremendous amount, and this term alone, we've resurfaced or funded over 50 miles of roads, which is sort of unheard of. I don't know that that's ever happened for a single city council person.
It's a lot.
It is a tremendous amount, and it takes a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of hard, tough conversations when somebody says, hey, look, we want this new shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we got to put that to the side and say, look, we've got to focus on our infrastructure. We cannot continue down the road of doing the big, fancy projects. We have to get the infrastructure right.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to a break here soon. Well, we can get to some of those fancy projects after the break, too,
because
there's big stuff in your district's future, too.
Absolutely, there is. And, you know, we just broke ground on a brand new fire station, a $4.6 million fire station over on Azalea Road. And that was a fire station that's 68 years old.
Wow.
And the District 4 CIP capital improvement money, we put in $2 million to make that happen. And that represents the largest investment by a city council CIP into public safety ever.
Mm. Wow. That's big news.
In the history of Mobile?
I'm sorry, I said
in the history of the city.
And yeah, that's right. Since the capital improvement program's been around.
We had that ribbon cutting earlier this week.
Groundbreaking. The ribbon cuttings are better. Right. You know, we enjoy the ribbon cuttings, but the groundbreaking was this last week.
I would, you know, when it comes to the groundbreaking, I like groundbreakings, but I always want to live long enough to see the ribbon cutting. It's 8:30, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
Hope you're being careful out there. Sounds like we have some pretty rough stuff on the roadways, and that 65 southbound I-10 eastbound, serious situation right now. So just be careful if you're driving around. It is a Wednesday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So a lot of rain, and we've discussed this so many times over the years. Rain means accidents, sometimes just little fender benders, but whatever, you know, harms your vehicle, you can always bring it into McConnell Automotive in the body shop.
That's right. Just remember Rachel. She will take care of all your needs. Their number back there is 251-476-4141. That's right. And if you have that unfortunate accident, just give her a call, man. We got great body shop back there. And we've got a great selection of used cars and new cars. If you're looking for a vehicle, if that vehicle's totaled or something, check out our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and you can give us a call, 251-476-4141. If you see something you like, and just come by and see us.
Yeah, it's that easy. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. The website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
8:35, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and Ben Reynolds, the sitting Mobile City Council District 4 councilman. Ben, good to have you again in the studio.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man.
So rain is the topic again this morning, and seems every time we have a rain, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here, we see sewage overflows, we see problems. That happens when you're in a city this old and old infrastructure under the ground. But obviously there's been a concerted effort for years from the city to fix this widespread problem. What are those discussions like? And I guess, do they ramp up after big rains like we apparently had over on the Eastern Shore overnight somewhat here in Mobile? What are those conversations like at city council meetings about flooding and stormwater management? And then specifically with your district, how have you gone about that?
Those conversations are typically difficult conversations, because what we find out when we sit down with the engineer is that there's a tremendous amount of demand for infrastructure improvements for stormwater, whether the money has not been allocated to do it. I mean, it's sort of not very popular, we've seen over the years, for you to take, say, $10, $20 million and put it in a ditch, and then everybody, once it's completed, doesn't even know anything's done. The only time you see it is after a big, heavy rain. So I've sort of tried to turn everybody's attention to that being a requirement of government, that that's the primary goal of what we should be doing. That's where we should be spending our money. And when we have these big rain events, it's kind of like you put on your fireman's hat, and everybody goes out and sort of patches all the problems and, you know, just does the best they can. But we have to have a bigger vision, long-term planning of how we're going to tackle this significant problem of drainage. So what I do is, in the capital improvement funds, I try to allocate every other year about $2 million or so to repairing ditches, and, you know, trying to partner that money with some bigger grant funds so that we can tackle sort of our big area to the south. And everything that, if a drop of water hits the ground up here at Airport and 65, if it's on the west side of I-65, that water is going to go down to Halls Mill Creek. If it's on the east side, it's going to go down to the further to the east of Dog River. So it's all coming to us. So fortunately, I've gotten the city's attention to say, if we're going to start fixing drainage, we need to start at the bottom and work our way up.
Saw somebody post online a picture of the litter getter. I don't know which one they got a picture of, but they didn't know what it was, and they were asking people, you know, what. And a lot of people here in Mobile clued them in. They said, that's a litter getter. You won't believe how much litter we used to have in some of these different waterways. That's, you talk about something that's been under-discussed. The litter getters, I think, have been great these last, I don't know how long they've been in, 5 years, 10 years almost, maybe?
It's over five, I believe. So 4 years ago, when I was running for office, I went out with the guy who does it, or the group. It's called Osprey Initiative. And I went out and rode around and saw the litter, the legacy litter, stuff that's real way far back in the grass where you have to essentially get out and hand-pick it. And we looked at the litter traps. I guess 2 weeks ago, I went and rode with him again, and we went and all, went through the rivers, and it has been a tremendous improvement from where it was 4 years ago to today. And we're going to be putting out a video here in the next week or so, sort of trying to explain all this work that's been happening, and it's been a fantastic contract with Osprey Initiative, and they're sort of the Navy SEALs of litter. They know it.
You know, when you came into office, I know you were very prepared for it. You prepared for the office by kind of overseeing, I guess, reviewing or watching council meetings happen for a number of years, right? So way before you ever even had the were running for office, you were prepared and understood the way it all went down and what your role would be.
Absolutely. So I had the fantastic opportunity. You know, I don't look at this as I chose to do this job. I feel like I was picked to do this job, or my number was called. So I was working with former councilman John Williams while he was still in office, and I was doing a tremendous amount of reading and studying and, you know, having discussions with him and debates with him, you know, about what the right thing is or what I thought the right thing was. So that carried forward into the office and made that transition from him to me very smooth, and I was prepared on day one. And I'm still just as diligent, if not more, now that I've been in the job for 4 years.
So one of the first things you tackled was one of the biggest problems there is, and that's homelessness. And you were in the news immediately because of trying to pass laws about camping and all this kind of thing. And obviously was trying to target what we see as this still growing problem of homelessness, not just, but primarily in your district and in Mobile. what's next? What's the solution?
Yeah, so I did introduce an anti-camping ordinance that you couldn't camp on public rights of way, and it just provoked this tremendous outcry from homeless advocates, mm-hmm. the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, and we had the house packed, you know, down there week after week after week. We didn't get the outcome we wanted in getting the votes to get it to pass, but what it did do was raise everybody's awareness mm-hmm. to the issue, and then sort of start identifying what are the real problems and how do we go about addressing them. So in response to all of that, the city hired a homeless prevention coordinator. They hired a mental health advocate to get involved. They entered into a contract with Ransom Ministries to get these folks that are willing or wanting to work to go and pick up litter and eventually can find a path to working for the city. We passed an aggressive panhandling ordinance. We passed a ordinance regarding sleeping in parks, mm-hmm. and you know there we allocated $2.2 million from opioid funds to the problem. So what we found is that we're providing services at a pretty good tick, and we've got a better handle on the problems. But what I think is the city is not doing an effective enough job at enforcing the vagrancy, because we're not necessarily talking about homeless. We're talking about vagrancy. Mm-hmm. And so we've worked with our state partners. Fortunately, they have passed a new law for us that will go into effect October 1st, where the city can access private property to abate a public nuisance such as junk and litter. And that's where a lot of the problem exists, is on private property. Mm-hmm. They're sort of have this place where they can go hide and avoid the, you know, the norms of society.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't think about it all the time, but in so many ways, local leaders, you know, city council members, you're kind of bound so often by state and federal law that it's interesting, and it's great to see when you guys are able to have some conversations with state officials or federal officials at times and say, hey, this is what's important to my district specifically, but my city. And then this is what we would like to see change, because it isn't all the time where the city council can just make a vote, snap your fingers, and that thing happens. There's so many other layers to it that you're kind of trying to dance around or through as a city council.
Yeah, there is no magic wand. And I know a lot of people think there is, where you call me and I can just resolve all the problems, but that's just not how it works. But, you know, this job is a relationship. This is a relationship business in the political sphere, you know, that you can pick up the phone and call your state representatives or people you have relationships with or interacted with on this issue or that. And that's why it's so important to keep that continuity from one term to the next, so that you don't sort of set yourself back where you have to start back over from scratch.
Mm-hmm. How about to this council? How does it get along? How do you guys work together? Because in the past, we've seen when council was not they were not a troop of Boy Scouts, all on the same page.
I'd say let the record speak for itself. I think this city council has been the most productive and most successful city council that I can recall in my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are times where you have you butt heads or whatever, but we work through it, and that's part of the democratic process. You know, mm-hmm. you just work through it and figure out, you know, where we need to land, and you don't always get what you want. You sometimes have to take half a loaf, as Councilman Dave's like to say. And but I think we've been very successful. We work very well together, and I would enjoy working with everybody again.
So let's talk about District 4 a little bit more while we have you on. You're running for re-election. Obviously, you feel, I don't know if satisfied would be the right word, but you've done a lot in your time in council. Talk about some of the wins you feel you have since you've been in office and what you want to see with District 4 if you were to win re-election.
It's sometimes I see it in the campaign that everybody wants to harp on the negative, but there is tremendous amount of positive that's been going on in District 4 and the city as a whole. We've seen tremendous amount of growth with new businesses coming in, even, you know, to Tillman's Corner, substantial amount of businesses coming in, and everybody wants to talk about the negative part of it, but you know, there's been an Aldi that's come in. There's Whataburger and mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A, Chipotle are on the way. We got the candy store is, you know, now yeah. torn down, and we've seen Topgolf come in. We've seen Dave and Buster's come in. There is a lot of demand for businesses to relocate to the center of the city, which is District 4.
Yeah,
you know, the biggest successes are the most boring successes, because that is truly my focus, and that is to resurface roads. I mean, it is truly remarkable to have resurfaced over 50 miles of roads and to build a brand new fire station and to put in millions of dollars in improving ditches that when we have these big rains, our residents then are very appreciative of it happening. Other times, they're just, you know, there's not a whole lot to see.
What's in it for you? What satisfaction do you get out of doing what you do? Obviously, running for re-election, you want to do it again.
Yes. This is my way of serving my country. You know, I wasn't a policeman, wasn't a fireman, wasn't in the military. You know, how does Ben Reynolds serve his country? And I think this is something that I'm very effective at doing. So this is my way of, you know, giving back or, you know, serving.
And, well, I guess we can leave it off talking about some citywide stuff before we let you go. We have so many major projects underway. The most visible is obviously the Civic Center redevelopment, but so much more than that. The airport, I mean, we can go on and on. The council, you've had a lot of really difficult, I'd say, discussions about these projects over the years, the budget, the time frame. How do you feel you guys are working together on that kind of thing? And do you feel like financially there are good enough guardrails put up by the city council to kind of keep things in a range that citizens are comfortable with, depending on whoever is in the next administration?
Well, to help drive that point home and make sure that we don't go backwards, the city council, I guess, probably 3 months ago, changed the ordinance regarding the reserves that are required. It was previously that you had to have 2 months reserves. We upped that to say 16.66% of our annual budget must be held in reserve, cash reserves.
Yeah.
So these big projects, they were planned. It should be no surprise that Mayor Stimson went 8 years and just in the previous council grinding away at debt, trying to get the finances right so that in those last 4 years you could check these big legacy boxes, you know, the new arena, airport, many other things. So it should be no surprise that that's the way it worked out. Now it's important for the next mayor, whoever they are, and the next city council, that we strictly adhere to our budget strategies that have been tremendously successful.
Yeah, first had to clean it up, clean everything up, and then you could begin to progress forward.
That's correct.
That's what Sandy did. Ben, thanks for sharing time with us this morning and our audience as well. I'm sure they appreciate the fact that you've come on and talking straight at them.
Yeah, and you have a website, obviously, too. Is it Reynolds for Mobile?
ReynoldsforMobile.com. And if you have a council-related issue, please give me a call or send me an email to council4@cityofmobile.org or give me a call at 251-208-7441. I want to hear from you.
Jeff Poore, the moderator of the Great Orange Beach debate last night. He tells us about that experience on the way next.